Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 3, we'll read verses 15 through 17 and then 21 through 22. And the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1463. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 3:15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Some years ago, there was a series of radio sermons on the Protestant Hour. The series entitled, Be Good to Yourself, Advocated Self-Care. In the book, Bread and Wine, Readings for Lent and Easter, William Willimon has a chapter entitled, Repent. He writes, the sermons of John the Baptist could not be entitled, Be Good to Yourself. His was a call to repent. Everyone needs to change their ways and get washed. Some 28 years earlier, John was a part of the birth story of Christ. His priestly father, Zacharias, was burning incense in the temple when an angel appeared to him. Zacharias was told that his wife, Elizabeth, would bear a son, and he was to call him John. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord and neither drink wine nor strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. John was to go before the Lord to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. After the angel Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and overshadow her, and that the Holy One born to her would be called the Son of God, Mary rushed to see her relative Elizabeth. As soon as Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe John inside her leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. Though Scripture doesn't give us the exact relationship of the two boys, we sometimes refer to them as cousins, cousins with a special calling. We aren't told about John's growing up years. It would seem likely that John knew of his birth and the announcement of the angel. It would seem more than likely that he knew of the significance of the birth of Jesus some 6 months later. Part of our assumption that John knew of his birth story is that he accepted his calling to live a different lifestyle. John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He came baptizing in the wilderness by the Jordan River. He preached, repent for the forgiveness of sins. He baptized in the Jordan River. He proclaimed, there comes one mightier after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Repent means to confess and to change, to admit you need forgiveness from God and turn from the way that you're going and go in a different direction toward God. People asked John, what shall we do? John said, if you have two tunics, give to him who has none. If you have food, give to him who has none. Tax collectors came to be baptized and said, teacher, what shall we do? John answered, collect no more than what is appointed for you. The soldiers asked, what shall we do? John replied to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. We notice that John is telling them how to live justly in their current life. If you have what you need, give to others. Do your job in a way that is fair and honest. Do not use your power or authority to harm others. Do not speak falsely about others. Be content with what you have. There were some religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who came to watch from the sidelines. John had harsh words for them. Do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Jewish baptism was not new. It was, however, for proselytes. Proselytes were Gentiles, non-Jews, who came to believe in the one living God of Israel, and they desired to become a part of the Jewish faith. Well, on the banks of the Jordan, John insisted that all needed to be baptized. All, that is, except for Jesus. Luke's account doesn't tell us. It is Matthew's account of that day that reveals that John tried to prevent Jesus. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized. And John tried to prevent Jesus by saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" Jesus answered, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John allowed Jesus. As John's baptism with water symbolized the washing away of sin as a sign of repentance from sin, we might question, why did Jesus come to be baptized? Jesus had no sin. Several explanations are often given. First, Jesus was identifying with humanity and our sins, and he was announcing the beginning of his ministry. Perhaps third, he was baptized for the sins of Israel. He was obedient to the Father, even unto death. And Jesus was giving us an example to follow. Most important, it is, as Jesus said, to fulfill God's righteous plan. It was a part of God's salvation for humans. All three of the gospel accounts, Matthew, Luke, and John, tell us what happened when Jesus was baptized. Mark adds that it took place as Jesus prayed. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Jesus, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." At Jesus' baptism, we gain some clarity of God as what we have come to refer to as the Trinity. God is one, yet within God's oneness, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was about 30 years old. His baptism was the beginning of his ministry. Jesus made baptism an important part of the beginning of the Christian faith. While not mentioned by Matthew, Mark, or Luke, John informs us that Jesus' ministry included baptism. John 3:22 says, "Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized." Now, John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. So it would seem that at least for a brief period of time, Jesus and John were baptizing at the same time. John does give us a little more clarification about Jesus' baptism in John 4:1-2. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," and then in parentheses it had, "though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples," Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. We can't say for sure, but maybe Jesus had his disciples to baptize in the early stages of his ministry, but not all throughout his earthly ministry. What we do know, according to Matthew's account, is that Jesus made baptism a significant part of the ministry of his disciples after his crucifixion and resurrection. In Matthew 28:16, we read, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him," when they saw Jesus, "they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." One thing that saddens my heart is that baptism, a sign of God that should unite all Christians, often separates. Jesus doesn't give us detailed instructions. Therefore, we, as humans, we've come up with our own as we try to answer questions. Who can be baptized? When and how often? Who has the authority to baptize? How should it be done and where? Perhaps for many of us, our beliefs, our understanding, our practices, our acceptance come from our own experiences. Invited by our neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Starnes, my two sisters and I began attending Moody Methodist Church. I was 6 years old. At the age of 11, I participated in a confirmation class. At the end of the class, in a special response worship, I received Jesus into my heart. I was baptized and joined the church one Sunday. I remember writing about my experience in a class that I took in the Alabama Course of Study for Local Pastors. The instructor wrote in the margin, "And it took?" Praise God, it did. Not because of my faithfulness, but because God is faithful to bring to completion a work God began. Salvation, baptism, grace, faith are gifts of God. Indy was 10 when he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior here at ACMAR. He was baptized and joined ACMAR Methodist Church. When we had our daughter, Lene, and then our son, Michael, we decided to have them baptized as infants. Baptism is an outward sign of God's inward grace. We were dedicating ourselves as parents to continue to nurture them in the Christian faith as God would continue to complete his gift of grace in their lives. In Remember Who You Are, William Willimon shares, "I helped a minister baptize two people. One was a 30-year-old man. He had been converted to the faith the short time before and was now being baptized. The other was a 3-month-old baby girl, a child of parents who were active in the church. The minister baptized the baby. He took her in his arms and said to her, 'Mary, we have baptized you and received you into the church. God loves you and has great plans for your life. But you will need us to tell you the story and from time to time remind you who you are and to keep you in God's family. We're going to appoint some members of our church to guide you and watch over you as you grow in faith. All of us promise to adopt you as a sister in Christ.' The minister baptized the man. He had him stand before the church and said to him, 'Tom, we have baptized you and have received you into the church. God loves you and has great plans for your life. But you will need us to tell you the story and from time to time remind you who you are and to keep you in God's family. We're going to appoint some of our members to guide you and watch over you as you grow in faith. All of us promise to adopt you as a brother in Christ. However we come through the waters of baptism, we emerge with a new beginning in Jesus Christ. It's not the end of our faith. It's a lifelong course with our Creator God." Jesus referred to his impending death as cup of baptism. Jesus' call to baptism is not only a call to be clean, but to die. We are to die to our selfishness and rise to Jesus' way of service. Even someone who, for whatever reason, does not receive baptism in the church can be baptized in Christ. While dying to self might not seem like it fits in with a sermon series, Be Good to Yourself, I think it does. The best thing that we can do for ourselves is to repent. It is good for our bodies, minds and souls to be clean and convert to a life with God, with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And our spiritual journey with God will have many moments of confession, repentance, mercy, and grace. We'll have many gifts from God. A major part of God's daily saving work in our lives is God's gift of God's Holy Spirit. God's Spirit calls us to remember who you are. And remember, you are baptized. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have given us the gift of everlasting life with you. When we are doubtful or in despair or even in delight, we'll always remember we are yours and you are with us. Amen.